And a guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's the kick! The super sub has done it again! And Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson, defenders backing off.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster will look back in games against Dundee and the weekend's fixture against Hibs. Welcome along, guys.
Cheers. How do?
Yeah, not so bad. The 2-1-0 games, Jay, a 1-0 victory at Dens Park on the Wednesday night, followed by a 1-0 defeat to Hibs on Saturday. I suppose, in the grand scheme of things, given the week that we've had, we'll not be too downbeat about a loss. Perhaps, to a certain extent, kind of brings us back down to earth with a wee bit of a bump as well. We need to pick ourselves up and keep our focus on these league fixtures over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of shows you how far we've progressed. The fact that, you know, losing 1-0 to Hibs is still seen as a slightly disappointing result, in particular the way we actually played. I think for me, you could possibly argue that the performance at McDermott Park earlier in the season's up there, but for me, I think Saturday was our worst performance of the season so far. Really, really poor, void of ideas, just lumping the ball forward at the two up front. But at the end of the day, we're not just a new squad, we're also a very young squad, and it's easy to forget that. So I think you're going to get days like that. You're going to get days where things just don't click. There's maybe seven or eight players who are maybe five or six out of tens. And it's going to cost you, particularly up against a team like Hibs, with guys like John McGinn and Dylan McGeoch, who absolutely ran the midfield. So it was disappointing, but you're right. I think, you know, Robinson said afterwards that it's not the end of the world. We just need to remind the players why we are where we are, you know, why we've had such a good start to the season. And I think this team have already shown so far this season that they've got the mentality to bounce back, and hopefully they will on Saturday, because I think that as much as, you know, losing a game against Hibs isn't a terrible result and it doesn't change anything, I think when you look at the fixtures we've then got after Ross County, you know, it can't be understated just how important Saturday's game could turn out to be.
Buster, I know you weren't at either of the fixtures in the last week, but you'll have had time now to see the highlights, or I hope you have. If not, then you're sacked for your unprofessionalism. Hibs possibly put in quite a Motherwell-type performance on Saturday. They were very strong. They dealt well with their stronger players. There was also an uncharacteristic mistake from Cedric Keepbury, caught underneath the ball and letting Martin Boyle in to score. These mistakes are going to happen with young players, though, aren't they? And we've got to, I suppose it's just a kind of almost a prevention-type scenario where you've got to work in avoiding them where possible.
Well, as you say, I wasn't at either game, unfortunately. I watched the Dundee one back in Alba when I got in for work, and I watched the Hibs highlights on a train this afternoon. So it looked, to be honest, it looked like an awful game. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't look like much team, either team played much football. As you say, Keepery did look as if he got caught under the ball a bit, which is slightly worrying because even going back to, you know, last week when we beat Rangers, he did look as if he was getting caught under the ball quite a bit then as well, even though he was unwell. It's maybe something they have to look at and maybe get a wee bit of practice done in the training ground regarding it. But it's you know, as you say, it's one of those things. Hibs are a bigger club. We went to Easter Road earlier in the season and we managed to claw back for 2-0 down, putting a good second half performance then. But it's not surprising that we lost to Hibs. As you say, it's disappointing that we lost in such a manner, from what I've read and from what I heard Stevie Robinson say, for example. But it also keeps us maybe a bit grounded, as you say. You know, I think we'd won four out of our last four matches or something. So you know, it's maybe something that we needed just to bring us back to the earth.
And Jay, that's a kind of sense of a reality. I think it was quite noticeable, despite the disappointment over the performance. People were fairly level headed about the disappointment, and that's something that's not been very apparent amongst our support in more recent times, where a bad defeat can orchestrate all sorts of nonsense, whether it be in social media or in the pub. But I think it's one, while yes, we're disappointed to lose any game at home, we've been really attempting to turn Fir Park into a bit of a fortress, and for the main part of the season so far we've managed to do so. But one game and a defeat, it's a setback certainly, but it's not the end of the world.
No, absolutely. And I mean, it perhaps gives us the chance now to to freshen things up a little bit. That's not to say that you know, the guys who have been playing week in, week out haven't done well. Of course they have. They've taken us to, you know, up until Saturday, third in the division and into a final. But, you know, again, as I said earlier, you need to keep in mind that it's a young team and they've been putting a lot into it. You know, it takes a lot to be such a new team, you know, a lot of new faces, and to get to where we've got in such a short period of time will have taken a lot of effort and a lot of work. So if it's a case of maybe, you know, guys like Biggie and Tanner, who came off the bench on Saturday and did change the game in our favour, you know, whether they now go and start the game up in Dingwall remains to be seen. But it's just one of those games that perhaps gives Robinson a wee spell to think about how we proceed now. Because up before Saturday, other than Tate coming missing out for Freer, I think, you know, the rest of the team is pretty much settled, or was settled up until Saturday. I think every Motherwell fan would have probably picked the same team, just with a question mark over whether Freer did come in for Tate after his performance in Dundee. So the fact now that guys like, you know, even Fisher, who played up at Dundee, didn't score again but had a really good game. Biggie had a great game at Dens Park and obviously came off the bench and stamped his authority in the game on Saturday. Tanner scored up at Dundee and probably would have been quite disappointed not to start on Saturday, but again, he came off the bench and provided something. So although it's a defeat, and although the actual performance overall wasn't good enough, there are still positives there, even positives from Robinson himself. The fact that we still have a manager who, you know, after 45 minutes is not afraid to make changes, you know, making two subs at half time, and then even when they brought on Petrovic or however you say his name, you know, that was still a very early substitution, something like the 55th minute. And even, you know, his introduction was a bit of a positive to take from it, because, you know, now he's match fit and he's starting to be on the fringes of the team. I thought he offered a decent amount when he came on. He's obviously got pace. He's obviously keen to run at full-backs and get to the byline. So it's certainly not, you know, it's by far a terrible, terrible result. I think what's more disappointing for me is the manner in which we lost the game. It just wasn't particularly that first half. It was a dreadful, dreadful performance that was almost like a throwback from the tail end of last season. But as I said earlier, we're that kind of team that I think every so often you might get a performance like that. We are still a very much a young team, and so it's going to happen from time to time.
Yeah, that's it. And you alluded to the substitutions at half time. Carol McHugh, one of the players that was removed, and it was a disappointing afternoon for McHugh, wasn't it? A very below par performance, and again, it's quite ballsy from the manager to hook his captain at half time. But again, Stephen Robinson showing he's not frightened to make the big decisions.
Yeah, that's it exactly. I mean, you're right. It doesn't get, you know, any bigger a decision than subbing your captain at half time. But you know, McHugh wasn't playing well enough. I think I noticed a debate on Steelman Online recently where a few folk had obviously mentioned that McHugh perhaps hadn't hit the heights that had been expected of him. And someone made the point that perhaps we're seeing Carroll McHugh, you know, the comparison between last season when he was in a team of mediocre footballers and now in a team of better footballers. I think perhaps that Carroll McHugh's performance levels maybe haven't dropped as much as people think. It's just the fact that he doesn't stand out as much because he's surrounded by a lot of better players. But no, you're right, he wasn't particularly playing well on Saturday. To be honest, nobody in the central midfield was playing well. And in saying that, they weren't really afforded the chance to play well, at least in an attacking sense, because as I said earlier, it was just long balls completely bypassing the midfield. But even in terms of, you know, the midfield battle itself, we were lacking any tenacity, which was really uncharacteristic for us this season. Normally, McHugh, Campbell and even Rose, you know, are getting torn in about it. And instead, John McGinn and Dylan McGee absolutely ran the midfield and at times were free just to waltz their way through. So it was no surprise that McHugh went off at half time. But you're right, it's still nice to have a manager. Again, when you look back as recent as last season with Mark McGee refusing to make substitutions up until the last 5 minutes, you have a gaffer who at half time, if things aren't going well, he will make changes. And although we didn't get back into the game, and we didn't actually, you know, get a point or go on to take all 3 points, it was still evident that Stephen Robinson's changes did have a positive effect in the game, because we went on to have a better second half. We competed. We possibly could have got an equaliser at least when the ball was cleared off the line for Dimitri's effort at the back post. And on another day, if that goes in, we're all talking about how Stephen Robinson's, you know, had another half-time masterclass.
But a bit concerning to see Gil Bigorama. The reports that he was in a pretty bad way after the game with an injury. He's come into the team again midweek against Dundee, came off the bench on Saturday and played very, very well. That'd be a big loss if we're beginning to get Bigorama as close to full fitness as we possibly had him in the first couple of months of his time at Motherwell.
It would be, yeah. I think we've said that before when, you know, we say Gil Bigorama was a sort of a coup of the summer, you know, the one that everybody was most excited about. And I think he's found himself pretty unlucky to be on the fringes of the team. There's times where he's come on, been involved in, you know, the goals or even scored a couple of goals in the League Cup. So, if again, to be honest, we have not managed to catch any news on, you know, his injury or anything. I did see you obviously telling us earlier this morning that, you know, he came off in a bad way. But especially if he's, you know, if as you say, you know, if McHugh, etc., was as bad as they were against Hibs and there's possible changes needing to be made or possible changes going to be made there, it's bad news for him as well as for us.
Jay, again, we're making headlines for a physical style of play as well. Neil Lennon, never a character that's short of a few words to say, and he said that he believed that his players needed more protection on Saturday. Interesting, there was 12 fouls from Motherwell to Hibs's 11, so we're not really talking about a very one-sided kicking match, certainly not in the eyes of the referee, which was Bobby Madden on Saturday. So I'm glad that we talked about him in the podcast for a couple of weeks ago. That's going to happen, but The hoo-ha after the semi-final and the reaction has been completely over the top, elevated to a point where I think Dundee on Wednesday night played to it. They tried to get into the referee's head, and we're gonna become victims of this if we don't play our cards right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we'll become victims of it. I think football's just that kind of game that we're the, you know, us being the cloggers of the divisions, the end thing, these next couple of weeks. I would like to think that Owen Coyle, partly because he's obviously got a bit of a connection with the club, but also I think he's maybe a bit more experienced and get a bit more class and will therefore be a bit more respectful on Saturday. And then you've got the international break. I would like to think that by the time we come back after the international break that this will all have kind of blown over a little bit. But you're right, I mean, it's been completely blown out of proportion. It's quite pathetic, to be honest. You've got, you know, guys who are paid full-time wages to be journalists talking about Ryan Bowman as though he's went out and murdered someone, and yet barely even mentioning Cardozo's, you know, busting Louis Moult's eye open, even although the two are exactly the same. The only difference between the two challenges is where the contact, you know, the position of the player's face and elbow. I mean, it's not any different whatsoever. Both reckless challenges, both completely blown out of proportion. But you're completely right, Dundee, both the fans and the players, had jumped completely on the bandwagon on Wednesday. Just about any time there was any bodily contact whatsoever, the Dundee fans were up in arms. And there was a few times when Ryan Bowman in particular would go up and just win a header, and if, you know, his momentum took him into someone, you know, the kind of challenge that you would see a million times on a Saturday all across the country, and suddenly there would be, you know, four or five Dundee players around Steve Finney. So it was really disappointing to see, because you would like to think that amidst all the absolute outrage or mock outrage from the Scottish media and the mock outrage from the Rangers fans, you still would like to think that at least professional footballers would have a little bit of, you know, respect and a bit of professionalism to realise that Ryan Bowman and Motherwell have been quite harshly dealt with here. And yet that didn't seem to be the case for Dundee. And again, on Saturday, I mean, I must say, I've always been a bit of a fan of Neil Lennon. I like players like that. I liked Neil Lennon, Scott Brown, Paul Hartley, Barry Ferguson, any player that can make, you know, fans of Motherwell or Hearts or whoever it is foam at the mouth and go absolutely mental, I just find hilarious. I think players like that are absolutely brilliant to watch, because they just annoy folks so much. So I always liked Neil Lennon as a player. I've never had any issues with him as a manager. I think some of the things he's had to go through as a manager have been unbelievably ridiculous. You know, it's the kind of thing that no human being should have to go through. And prior to Saturday, the only issue I've ever had with Neil Lennon was when Michael Higden was nominated for Player of the Year and Lennon came out with some ridiculous comments about that. But his comments on Saturday were just ridiculous. You know, to come out, to have the actual gallusness to come out and claim that Motherwell have been kicking his team off the park and conceding all these fouls yet not getting booked, and yet, as you say, the stats show that we committed 12 fouls and they committed 11, I think it just makes an absolute mockery of what he's saying. And of course, anybody who actually saw the game would have saw John McGinn essentially referee the game rather than Bobby Madden. You know, Bobby Madden had a very poor game. I don't believe in referees being biased, but I think that there was a lot of decisions that he favoured Hibs quite heavily in. And that's something that I was, you know, there was a Hibs fan for Twitter had actually asked me before the game for a recommendation for a pub before it. So I recommended Club 100, just in case Sammy's listening and wants to treat the podcast a few pints. But he'd get back in touch with me after the game. And I wasn't talking about Bobby Madden, just asked him how he enjoyed the game. And I think his words were, well, to be fair, I think Motherwell, you know, perhaps deserved a point. Because, you know, Bobby Madden seemed to give us everything, and that's from a Hibs fan. So, you know, when you've got an opposition fan saying the referee was giving them everything, I think that lends a wee bit more weight to just, you know, a Motherwell fan with sour grapes. So I think it's quite clear that Neil Lennon has, you know, hook, line and sinker went with this whole bandwagon that we're this this team of thugs, when in reality John McGinn was probably the dirtiest player in the park. You know, it's quite pathetic. It doesn't have any reflection on the actual match. But as I said, I would like to think that Ross County and Owen Coyle will have a bit more class about them on Saturday. And then by the time the international week's out of the way, I would like to think that this whole kind of nonsense is passed.
I think that Stephen Finney, Finney on Wednesday, I thought he handled the first half an hour really well. And I know when I said to you guys when I watched it back, I thought he had a good game and you quite rightly shot me down. But what I meant was he handled the sort of the Dundee's players, the fans, Neil McCann, you know, he handled them really well. Every time, as you say, they went for a header, a tackle, whatever, they were in about it, giving it the booze, giving it the offer, fuck's sakes, and things like that. You know, and I thought Stephen Finney done really well in that first half hour, you know, to basically say, this is how the game's played, get up and start greeting with it. But, you know, as you say, it's going to be something I think that we will maybe have to deal with, certainly over the next month or two. And I think certainly when it comes to, you know, the League Cup final, Brendan Rodgers started his shite already right after the semi-final. So it'll be something we have to deal with. But hopefully, you know, as bad as we say the refs can get, hopefully they're strong enough to realise and understand that essentially, you know, it can be a tough game at times.
Yeah, and I've not really had the chance to ask you for your take on the, I suppose, what has been a bit of a shitstorm over the last week or so since the Betfred Cup the League Cup semi-final. it's hard for, and you can tell that guys like Ryan Bowman, it's going to be tough for him to bounce back from this, and in certain ways, I guess that Motherwell need to kind of rally around him and support him, because the reaction to his challenge, yes, he's clumsy, there's no doubt in that whatsoever, but he's not a dirty player. I think Stephen Robinson's defence of him was very, very strong at his press conference prior to the Dundee game. Mm-hmm. We're going to need to see that, though, because while I don't think he needs wrapped in cotton wool, and he's a big boy, but yeah, it must be difficult for a player to go through something like that.
It will be, but I think, was it last Monday you recorded as well, sorry, when I was at work, aye?
Yeah.
Well, again, I don't think that we even really need to touch on it that much, because, as you says, come Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, whatever time the press conference is at, Stevie Robinson handled it absolutely fantastically. Sorry, I don't think there's ever been a better press conference from a Motherwell manager's point of view. The way he was prepared for every question, you know, the stats and figures about Ryan and his career, Ryan and his Motherwell career, absolutely brilliant. And it's one of those things where, again, I thought the ref on last Sunday was a bit iffy, but it wasn't iffy in Motherwell's favour. It wasn't iffy in Rangers' favour. It was just a bit iffy. He missed two elbows, two head knocks where the game should have been stopped, two knocks that drew blood as well. You know, and you know, people make mistakes, fair play to them. But for the way Rangers, Rangers fans, Bruno Alves, for the way they've all reacted, it's a bit of a farce, especially when you're the dirtiest bastard in the league. Just about the only other person you've ever played with who's dirtier than you is Pepe. For Bruno Alves to come out and complain about people being harsh and tough on him is unreal. But Ryan Bowman, as you say, he's a big boy. For what I've seen, doesn't seem to be affecting him. He's still, you know, going for his headers, jumping the way he jumps. That's how people jump, unfortunately. You know, there's going to be times where you're going to clash heads, you're going to clash elbows, you might get a knee in the back, a knee in the side, whatever. That sometimes happens. I doubt Ryan Bowman means it. And as we said, Stevie Robinson basically killed that paragraph on Tuesday afternoon or morning, whatever time it was.
And Jay, following all the chat from Rangers and the statement, there was a bit of concern that it might be the case that Louis Moult received a retrospective ban. There was calls for Ryan Bowman to suffer the same fate. The big thing for us is that hasn't been the case, and both will be available for the final, because it would have been a really sore loss, particularly to lose Moult, obviously, but Ryan Bowman has played such a big part this season. He deserves to be there in the final. A game that he contributed a lot to the semi-final, and it was another good performance. His partnership with Moult is a very strong one, and it's still developing.
Oh yeah, I mean, the actual Bowman challenge in the semi-final, I mean, nobody is claiming that it was completely above board and fair, but there's obviously a massive difference between recklessness and clumsiness than intent. It wasn't deliberate, and so it wasn't due a red card. I think when you see it back, it's a yellow card, it's a booking, and he would have been sent off, obviously, had that been the case. By the same token, the Cardozo elbow on Louis Moult is a booking. He didn't get booked for that either. The Louis Moult thing, I still don't get. I mean, you know, there's even Motherwell fans have told me that he was lucky because he seems to kick out. I've watched it play a good number of times now. I don't see him kicking out at any stage. I see him realising that Bruno Alves has kicked out, and he quickly gets to his feet. So I don't know if people are seeing him, you know, jumping up to his feet thinking that he's kicking out, but I just don't see it at all. So I am not surprised in the slightest that the compliance officer didn't, you know, find anything wrong with Louis Moult's actions, because nothing I can see there is due a red card. For me, it's just part of the whole the circus that follows the Rangers around, you know, this kind of mock outrage that everybody, you know, everybody hates them and they don't care, but they care so much they greet themselves to sleep at night. It was embarrassing. You know, just when you thought that they couldn't embarrass themselves anymore, they've done it again. You know, anybody who has watched a game of football in their lives knows exactly why Ryan Bowman wasn't given a retrospective ban, knows exactly why Louis Moult wasn't given a retrospective ban, and knows exactly why Bruno Alves was given a retrospective ban. I can't believe I'm saying it, but the SFA for once have got it spot on.
Yeah, I completely agree. So the Dundee game on the Wednesday night, it was, I had a wee bit of feeling that it was after the Lord Mayor's show, I suppose, and you're going after the extreme high of Hampden, but a healthy travelling support, and we made a fantastic start, Craig Tanner scoring after 5 minutes. The game after that, I think Stephen Finney's officiating, it got so fussy and it really deterred away from the game having any real flow to it. The 3 points though is what matters most, isn't it, Buster? And to get that on the back of the high of Hampden as well was very impressive.
Of course, yeah. As I say, it was on Alba. I avoided the score and came home, watched it 2 o'clock or something like that. Finished, but as you say, it was 3 points is exactly what you were after. Yeah. I think you mentioned earlier, Craig Tanner, you know, has got the goal and found himself unlucky not to be in the team this weekend. I think that's something that we've noticed quite a bit about Craig Tanner. He seems to come in, do well, and then drop, you know, straight back out. I don't know, you know, what's happening there, but Craig Tanner's, again, one of these, if you look at our bench, we'll get great options on the bench if we need it and when it comes to it. He seems to be very technically gifted, seems to have a good left foot on him, and he made a good run for, I think there was two knock-ons for Fisher and Bowman. But as you say, it got a bit towards the end when I was watching it, it seems as though we sort of camped in a wee bit, but you know, we held on, and that's exactly what it's all about, as you say, getting the 3 points on the board at that time.
And Jay, I think that if you going into the week that we had and the D game then followed by the Hibs game, I don't think any of us would have been too disappointed if we were to know in advance that we were going to get 3 points out of six. I know having won the away game, you kind of hope that you can back it up with a victory at home, but it's been a really hard fought week as well. We've had to make the most of all the resources that we've got, and we certainly can be very satisfied with a cup semi-final win, a win at Dundee, and then unfortunately a defeat on the Saturday.
Yeah, that's it. I think given the, you know, the effort that went into the semi-final, and obviously the changes that we made to the team, that could have went the other way. I think looking at the games beforehand, although Hibs would have looked, I think, on paper, the more difficult game because of the players they've got, I think, you know, personally, I would have looked as possibly to struggle at Dens more than we would have at Fir Park, just because you've got the immediacy after the semi-final. So to go there and get the win was a fantastic result. So yeah, although Saturday was disappointing, I think to get 3 points from the two games after that semi-final, it's still really, really good. It's still got us in a great position. We're still in fourth place, and we can still be positive about the season.
Yeah, and just kind of on to other things that have been happening over the course of the week. The Welsh Society share issue was confirmed today. Seems like another positive step in the kind of routine of fan ownership. Are you able to shed a wee bit more light and information on this? Because I know bugger all, to be perfectly honest.
No, in fairness, it's one of the few things with the Welsh Society and my role on the board that I haven't had a great massive amount to do with, purely for the same reason. You know, I'm not a businessman, I'm not going to sit and pretend I know all about share sales and the like. However, it is an opportunity to raise money up to £500,000. The Welsh Society will remain the major shareholders. The fan ownership won't change in that regard. It's the Welsh Society shares rather than the club, so every share or every penny that comes in from the share sale will be doubled by Les Hutchison. And the money raised from the share sales, unlike the money that comes in from pledges and donations, which subsequently gets invested in the club, the share sale is about kind of raising reserves, so that there's a little bit of an overdraft there just to safeguard the club going forward. So, you know, positive stuff. It won't be up everybody's street, but, you know, there have been quite a few people who have been interested in buying shares in the club but haven't been interested in being a part of the Welsh society. So it's perhaps a chance for folk like that to maybe get involved as well. So, you know, you'll need to obviously maybe send an email to the likes of Douglas Dickey or Tom Feely with any real sort of questions about the finer details, because it's certainly not my bag. But yeah, it's just another thing that we'll hopefully see money coming in, and we'll hopefully see, you know, getting closer to that target set by Les Hutchison with the double your money offer.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everyone at the Community Trust for their excellent kids' party on Saturday morning. Also gave Penny the opportunity to be mascot for the game. Unfortunately, not a lucky mascot, but brilliant effort from all involved. And they made for a very, very special day for all the kids involved. So thank you to Dawn and her team. The final day for orders of Off-Air 3 is tomorrow, deadline at 5 o'clock. So if you can, pre-order your copy, and it's released on the 10th of November, so we're getting pretty close to launch night. As soon as I finish up with the podcast, I'll be right back to working the final few articles, but we're getting there, and it's been another successful process so far, and we're looking forward to the launch night and the awards night a week on Friday. Guys, are a wee bit shorter than usual, but I know you're just back from London, Buster, and I'm knackered. And Jay, you can do whatever you want for the rest of the night now, but I think that's about all we've got.
I think it's maybe worth recognising the, you know, the boys since I was young, fanzine county as well, with their fundraising thing they've done.
Oh yeah, and we've not talked about Ross County either. We'll do. yeah, I'm clearly in too much of a rush here.
That's fine, I'm waiting on a pizza coming.
Yeah, the boys' effort is beyond words, really. It's the £4,000, or was it £4,500 target? It was smashed within 24 hours. Mullow fans properly getting behind it, and justifiably so too, because the effort that these guys put in, it's not just raising the money to get the materials, it's them having to set up these displays and everything else, taking days off their work and going up to Hampden Mob Handy to make these things a success. And I think quite often people don't realise the amount of effort and time that goes into these things, but maybe that's not the case given how much the supporters have backed them, and it's good to see that the Welsh Society will benefit from it as well. So yeah, great stuff there. County, it's yet another hard game. I know you say it almost on a weekly basis, Buster, but there is no easy games in this league, is there? And Ross County have struggled a wee bit under Owen Coyle since he's taken over, actually. I think after winning his first game, he's now lost two or three in the bounce. And I suppose, like every other season, Ross County look like they'll be down at the bottom come Christmas time, and then no doubt McGregor will put his hands in his pocket and they'll buy 12 players and they'll stay up quite comfortably. But always a very tough fixture. We've actually played County twice this season and won on both occasions, one after extra time in the cup and then a hard fought 2-1 victory for Park. You would expect no different on Saturday, a tough physical game and one that will need to be at our very best to win.
No, I think you're right. It's going to be another tough one. And as you say, you know, it's one of the, I always say MD can beat MD in this league. So it's going to be a tough one. Just as you mentioned, I was having a look at their recent record, and it's not as bad, to be fair, as you made it over the last three games. They beat Hamilton, drew with St Johnstone away, and then got beat off Aberdeen. So you know, they're not doing too bad. They're actually doing all right, because St Johnstone away is always a tough one for ourselves as well. And I'm sure if we'd have come away with a point earlier in the season, St Johnstone would have been delighted. But
He's actually got 7 points out of 15. He's not done badly at all.
Well, as you say, it is going to be a hard one. It's going to be a tough one. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what changes we make, if any. I think that Stevie Robinson's got a wee bit of thinking to do. And, you know, it was going well. Freer was out injured and Tate moved to the left, can to the right. It was going well during that period. We've changed it a wee bit there. That's another question I meant to ask. Sorry, was Tate injured or was it just a change?
I think it was just a change. Tate was on the bench, I'm sure. To be fair, Freer, I thought, had a really good game at Dens.
Yep, so did I. To be fair, that Elliot Freer was fast becoming, you know, one of my favourite players in the club. He's got that wee 5 yard wee burst of pace, and he's easy to go. He loves going past players, makes it look easy. So, and you know, it's one of those things where we were whether or not you agreed with it, we were always commenting on how many crosses we get into the box, and it was because of guys like Freer, you know, going past our man and putting in there. And again, I know he gets subbed at half time, so I don't really know how it was working for him on Saturday there, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the team again because he's got that, you know, that creative influence. But as I say, it's going to be tough, and but I hope to see that. You know, I hope that we can pick up maybe at least a point. To be fair, if we pick up a point, I won't be too disappointed. But it'll be nice to see. It'll be good to see. You know, what Stevie Robinson decides to do.
Yeah, and there is a few selection headaches there, isn't there, Jay? I suppose the really interesting one is if Bigger Man is fit, which is a wee bit up in the air. There's not really. I've been kind of trying to click away and find out a wee bit more about his injury. But if he's fit, does Carroll McHugh drop out the team? Maybe that's a move that Stephen Robinson might consider, just to, I don't know, maybe just a wee rocket up Carroll McHugh. He'll maybe not be able to assume that he's got I'm not accusing him of assuming that he's guaranteed a place, but I suppose to drop your captain is quite a bold move. They've got Petrovictus, who came in and did well off the bench. Craig Tanner, again, a good 45 minutes from him Saturday. So there's selection options there, and it's all in a good way, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, even, you know, again, we've got a manager where even regardless of the team that starts, you know, he's not afraid to make changes very early on. So it'll be really interesting to see who starts the game. You know, you're right. I think Biggie has done enough over the last two games in particular to force himself into the team. It then just becomes a question of who you replace. I think, you know, how the players play in training this week. We'll come into that. Interestingly enough, Carroll McHugh was in the gym this evening, so I don't know if he's doing extra sessions because he knows himself that he's maybe slipping a little bit. But I don't know. It's a difficult one because it's not just about who is perhaps playing below par. It will also come into, you know, their style of play, who is going to fit in there better alongside, you know, is Biggie going to complement Campbell and Rose or Rose and McHugh, or, you know, so there's a lot of options, but it's great to just be in this position. You know, it's been a wee while since we've been into a game considering changes, and you could bring in Biggie, you could bring in Tanner, you could perhaps put a Fisher in for Bowman, you know, and at no point will the team look particularly worse off, and that's a really good position to be in. As for the game on Saturday, as I said earlier, I think that I don't want to start, you know, talking about must-win games and things like that so early in the season. It's certainly not that. We're a million miles away from talking about games as must-win. But I just think that in the context of the run that we've got after going to Dingwall on Saturday, this could prove to be a massive, massive game. You know, we've got international break, then we go to Pittodrie. We've then got, obviously, the final with Celtic and scheduled to play two more league games against Celtic, and then we're away to Murrayfield if they're still there, or perhaps Tynecastle for Hearts away, and then that's you into December when you've got, you know, further away games against Partick Thistle and Kilmarnock. So, you know, if we don't pick up points on Saturday, it's not out with the possibility or the realms of possibility that we could be going, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks without picking up any points. So for me, yes, a point would be nice, but I think it's really, really important that we need to go there and look to win all 3 points.
Yeah, that's quite a. I think we've been well aware, haven't we, over the threat of December with 7 games and a lot of tough fixtures in there, that there's been a real emphasis in picking up points, and full credit to the players and the management team who have picked up points, and we're sitting pretty just now, but there's still, yeah, there's still a lot of work to be done, that's for sure. Another wee bit of news coming out of the club at the end of last week was Keith Lasley extending his stay as assistant manager. I don't think that there was one bit of negative reaction to that news, was there, Buster? An absolute stalwart of the club. He's now turning his hand to the coaching side of the game and seems to be doing a very good job at that as well. So long may that continue, and it's a delight to hear after Stephen Robinson's committed his future that Keith Lasley will be there alongside him too.
Yep, absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think our personal love aside for him, he seems to be doing really well at the club. Obviously, you know, I don't go and watch training or anything. I don't have time to do that, so I don't see what he does personally. But, if the manager's happy to have him, the club are happy to have him, he's obviously doing something well. And, you know, as we've said all along, he's a great guy as well. Couldn't meet a nicer guy. He's always wanting to stop and talk to you, always wanting to say hello, whatever. But, as I say, if he's doing well with his coaching and things like that, you know, best of luck to him. And you never know if Stevie Robinson moves on at one point, you know, he might end up in the hot seat himself.
Yeah, that's it. And I would say that if it would be quite funny if you did go and watch training.
Nah, I don't have time for that. I'd rather lie on the couch and eat Doritos.
Ah, that's where we go. Anyway, guys, that is definitely us this time. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Cheers. No more, thank you very much.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you. Goodbye.